Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You're listening to Everyday Astrology with Sia Brooks on 1-2 Radio, where I like to think that we are changing the way we listen to the world. We're just listening to a few ideas, getting a different perception, and really knowing that it really is under our control, not the events of the world, but our perception, our interpretation is always under our control. So hopefully that's what you'll hear today, at least a few ideas to get you thinking. This is October 22nd, 2024. And like usual on this show, we are going to look at the cosmic dance for the week ahead and beyond. And of course, our highlight this week is the sun entering Scorpio, which it's going to do this afternoon. And there again, today's October 22nd for anybody who might be listening to this from the archives. It's Tuesday, and this afternoon at 3:15 p.m., that's Pacific time, the sun is going to move into Scorpio. And of course, in astrology, the sun is a pretty important planet. It has to do with our ego. And so as it moves into Scorpio, and that some of the things we talk about today, it really does apply to everybody in the world. But obviously, it may be more influential in some people's lives. But if you just look at astrology in general, as sort of the weather pattern, it tells us what is the weather for the next 30 days, or at least according to the sun. And the sun is not the only planet that we look at, but it just sets the temperature, you know, or it sets sort of a baseline for what's going on. And I think it always gives us an idea about, you know, just to be thinking about what is this time of year, in the same way that, like, for instance, I know when I was little, one thing I absolutely loved is my mom had this big trunk and it was full of clothes. And so whatever season we were in, the other season, all the clothes were in the trunk. So as soon as it started getting warm after winter, it's like, let's open the trunk, let's get all the clothes out. And so we did. And I remember what fun it was to actually open the trunk and get out all the clothes. Now, of course, when I really think about it, it was kind of silly because whatever those clothes were that I had the summer before, the shorts or the tops, they didn't fit anymore. You know, I was a lot taller and all those got handed down to one of my sisters. But it was just always that fun idea of moving into a new season. And I remember also just begging, can I go without my shoes? Can I go barefoot outside? And you know, sometimes she'd say no, but I go outside and take my shoes off. You know what I mean? I just love to do that. So it's just the idea that as we look at a new season, as we look at what's going on, you know, what is the season of Scorpio? And that's what we're going to look at. And there again, sometimes maybe it won't mean too much to you. And then other times it might kind of just occur to you, yeah, the temperatures are dropping a little bit. Maybe depending on where you live, they've dropped a lot. But, you know, just that slow movement into fall and into a new season. Now, Scorpio doesn't bring in the season of fall. It was Libra that did that. But at least for where I am, we didn't see much change until just the last few days. So I'm looking forward to see what Scorpio will bring. Now, before we get into it, I always like to put plug in for Mark's Power Peak, which is that online newsletter available for free. You sign up at 12listen.com. It comes out weekly on Saturday evenings, and there's lots of different articles in there. Some of them are astrology, like what I write. Some of them are, you know, like outermost mind. I can never tell you exactly what he's going to talk about, but it's always going to be something provocative. There's always just different articles. Some of them are numerology. Some of them are, you know, based on tarot. They can be based on a number of different things, but they're all what I would consider, you know, alternative or at least another way of looking at the world, you know. And I get a lot of pep and pizzazz out of reading it, and just, you know, it's kind of like having that family that is, you know, more psychological, spiritual, supportive, and just knowing there's other people out in the world that think like you. Now, that being said, you may read my column that talks about all, you know, everything going on and not think like me at all. But I do encourage you to read it, especially if you like astrology, If you kind of want to know what's going on from that perspective, a different view of the world, please check that out. Because, you know, we have 55 minutes on this show every week. And we, you know, I usually pick one or two things from the week and we really go deep with it. So you're going to hear some things on this show that you're not going to read in the Power Peak. But there's going to be lots of stuff in the Power Peak that you're not going to hear on this show, especially on a daily level. You know, where is that moon? What's going on? What's the emotional tone? What are some of the things that are happening that day? There's just not enough time to talk about all of them. So check out Mark's Power Peak and subscribe to that if that sounds like something you'd like to do. And also, you can join me over on Facebook this morning. And, you know, we use that during our radio shows, and I try to pay attention to it to the extent that I can while we are on the show. So if you want to write a comment, I will try to check those out. And also, yeah, so the people who are already there, hey, thank you very much, Judith and Renee. I know you're always here, and Quelly and James Donahue. Thank you so much for being here. And for the others, I don't have a full list. I just read the top few. But thank you for joining me over there. And if I do happen to see a question or a comment that I can respond to during the show, I will do that. But know that I always do try to read all of your comments after the show if I don't get to them during the show. So let's dive into the week ahead. This week's theme is claiming your power as a magician and as an agent of change. And I know that sounds kind of highfalutin, right? But here again, as we just look at what is the energy of this, you'll see very much why Scorpio is the magician. You know, why Scorpio is that agent of change. And I just think claiming that as your own power. And how do you do that? So one of the ways you're going to do that, I think, is by withdrawal. You know, going into yourself. But there again, you may go, hey, wait a minute, I've got all kinds of parties, I go to work, I have kids, I've got all this stuff going on. But I just want you to kind of entertain this idea as we talk about this, about the idea of claiming some space for yourself. Whether that's physical or mental or psychological, setting goals for personal change or for personal development, and establishing boundaries for private time. That's what this is about. And I really do feel Scorpio. Think about it. It says Scorpio can be this deep and dark sign where we go underneath the surface to check some things out. I also think it's about socializing with people this month with a purpose and having discernment, you know, not just willy-nilly, just being very more, you know, so much more purposeful about how we spend our time with other people. So I'm going to leave those themes there, and now we're going to explore them in a little more detail. So yes, this is officially the Scorpio season. The sun enters Scorpio this afternoon. It will stay there for 30 days until November 21st. Now, in truth, we've already dipped our toes in these waters this year because two planets, you know those two planets that stay really close to the sun, Mercury and Venus, well, they've already entered Scorpio. So we've already had a taste of that. You know, and that's how it works. Those three, they stick together, and one by one, every single year, they're going to move into every single sign. And Venus, in fact, not only moved into Scorpio, but she's already scooted right out. She's in Sagittarius. Because remember, Venus and Mercury, I mean, they'll spend 3 to 4 weeks in a sign, not very long. So, you know, in Mercury, in fact, I think sometimes it can be as little as 12 to 14 days. But Venus is already in Sagittarius. So we've already had that taste of Scorpio when she was there last month. And Mercury is still in Scorpio, and it will be there until November 2nd. So let's talk about Scorpio. And some of this, I know you've heard a lot of this before. You know, I know many of you listen to Mark's show on Mondays, which is always wonderful, you know, and he'll take one little piece or something and really dive into it. And I'm always, I love listening to Mark's show because I learn something. In fact, years and years ago, after I'd already been practicing astrology for quite a while, and it, you know, taken classes for several years from another teacher, I had met Mark, And they had these classes, and I thought, well, I'm not sure I need all these classes. I mean, I, you know, kind of been there, done that. But I was new to town. I had moved back to Denver from San Diego. And I thought, you know what, this would be a great way to meet some friends, you know, to meet some people in Denver, because I was from Denver, but I'd been gone for 5 years. So I thought this would be, you know, really cool to kind of get into the metaphysical community. So I signed up for these classes. And lo and behold, this is what goes on in my life, you know, and I guess you call it arrogance. I always think I know everything, but I take these classes and I thought, whoa, I just couldn't believe how much I learned. I mean, it was just a wonderful experience, not only meeting people, but it was what I learned. And maybe one of the things I learned is you never stop learning. You know, there's always something more to know. And so don't always think that you know everything there is to know. So it was really fun. So I think it's worth, that's a long way of saying, I think it's worth from time to time, just going back over, what does something stand for? Going back to what I call the basics. And I do it for myself too. Because sometimes we get lost in all the minutiae, all the details. And then I think, okay, just go back to the basics. What are we talking about here? So with Scorpio, it's the eighth sign of the zodiac. And as you know, every single sign, they have qualities. So one of the things that we assign to all of the signs is what we call a modality. You know, how are they going to operate? Well, this is a fixed sign, like Taurus and Leo and Aquarius. Each of those are called fixed. Those particular signs occur in the middle of a season. So they're not the sign that initiates, like in this case, fall was initiated by Libra. But it occurs in the middle where we're saying, okay, we've initiated something. Now it's time to stabilize the energy, concentrate the energy, focus. These are the signs that anchor the energy in a particular season. They're the signs that we can always count on for follow through and for being persistent and loyal. They're the ones that tend to be associated with ingrained habits. So Scorpio has all of those qualities. It shares those qualities very much like Taurus and Leo and Aquarius. But now, what's different about Scorpio from those three that I just named? Well, it's a water sign. Taurus is earth, Leo is fire, and Aquarius is air. So this is the fixed water sign. So when it comes to, you know, in fact, I always say that, you know, some of the signs, specifically Taurus, always gets a reputation for being so stubborn. Well, in many ways, all four of these signs are pretty stubborn. But it depends on the element where we're likely to see it. So Taurus is earth and tends to be really persistent and stubborn when it comes to actually physically changing its, you know, changing something, you know, and doing something different. Aquarius tends to be in their mind. You know, let's face it, I'm an Aquarian moon. I get it. You know, we don't like to change our minds very often. You better show me something really specific, or I'm going to be pretty darn stubborn and keep my opinion until you just prove to me it's something different. Well, this Scorpio is persistent and stubborn water. It holds the energy. That's why, truthfully, Scorpio is one of those signs that, you know, I mean, when it comes to relationships, when it comes to attachments, they are incredibly loyal and they don't, you know, that whole idea of forgive and forget. Well, it's like they may forgive, but they probably won't forget. Now, I'm not saying that in a negative sense. I'm just kind of throwing it out there. It goes deep, deep, deep when it's Scorpio. This is water energy, like Cancer and Pisces. So what does it share with those two? Well, this is the energy of the heart. It's about emotions and feelings, and it's very psychological. It's about intuition. These are the signs that truly have the easiest ability, the easiest access to their intuition, to their psychic abilities. They are sensitive. That means energy comes into them and they're receptive. That sensitivity. They operate on perception. But because of that, they also tend to be subjective, right? Because what did I feel in this situation? And how often have you been with a person or you know somebody who really operates on water energy, and that's it? It's what do I feel? What is my gut telling me? They even talk that way. You know, this is what my gut is saying. And so you might even be talking to them and saying, well, that's not true. This place opens at 6 o'clock. And they're saying, well, my gut says. It's like, what do you mean your gut? You know, they're very subjective, or it's a subjective energy. And there again, remember too, all of us have Scorpio somewhere in our charts, because the charts are calculated based on drawing that picture of the moment of your birth, or the moment, you know, and it can be a birth chart of a business, it can be the birth chart of a relationship, but the moment of birth, when we draw that chart, all 12 of those signs are represented in that circle. Now, there may not have been any planets there. We may not have been in the season of Scorpio, but we all have Scorpio somewhere in our charts. So even if we don't have planets in Scorpio, Scorpio is actually operating in that part of our life. So if you know those 12 houses, and we're not going to talk about that today, but if you know those 12 houses, then you know where that Scorpio energy is most active in your chart. So a couple other things I'm going to throw out today, and I don't know how much detail we can get into these, but I just want to throw it out because I know a lot of you, you know Tarot, you know some other things, and it may be something that you practice, you may know it really well. So just kind of putting it together, you know, it's almost like we're stirring up a batch of cookies, and I'm introducing a lot of ideas, and you kind of watch for how these things manifest throughout the month. So when we look at Scorpio, some of the really interesting thing is we can look at who are the planetary rulers of Scorpio. And I say rulers plural because traditionally, before we collectively invented a telescope, you know, and astrology was those thousands of years of observations, it, you know, there were, we didn't have Pluto or Neptune or Uranus. So Mars was considered to be the ruler of Scorpio. And to this day, I mean, sometimes when you really look at Scorpio energy or you see something going on, you realize that's very Mars. You know, it's that it's creative, but it's just energetic. And it just has that feeling about it that you realize it's Mars that you're really feeling. Mars is about passions and motivations and energy. Literally, what motivates us? What moves us? What inspires us? Mars is the planet of instigation. Now, this is what I want to introduce too, though. All of the signs and all of the planets also have an association with Tarot. You know, that they've been matched up. And as far as I know, I mean, I've heard some people sometimes, you know, they'll differ a little bit, but for the most part, I think these are classic. So it's the Tower card that is associated with Mars. Now, I will admit, you know, the first time I heard that, I thought, what? That just didn't, I was thinking Mars would be the Chariot, or Mars, you know, would be something else. And by the way, Cancer's the Chariot. But Mars is the Tower. And here again, I don't want to go all into the Tarot, and sometime when Mo is on the show, maybe we can go into this a little bit deeper. But it does make sense, because the Tower is this sense that we either change ourselves, we either address faulty foundations, or those faulty foundations sometime will come down, right? I mean, we can say, oh, I don't need to fix that. I don't need to look at that. I don't need to think about that. But you know what? When something isn't working, when it really just has gotten out of control, well, the Tower energy comes along and says, hey, let's start over. So it's not anything to be afraid of, but it is a very strong, powerful energy. And sometimes we see that energy in Scorpio. And I think part of it is the Mars energy, as well as the Pluto, which is the modern ruler. So just think about it. There again, just tuck this little piece of information there. I'm not saying the world is coming to an end. I'm just saying this is Tower energy that says when something isn't working, then we're going to pull the pieces. We're going to pull the pieces out, and we're going to look and see what does work and what doesn't. That's what it has to do with. But the Tower is very much, if you don't do it yourself, then eventually your psyche, and that's what I'd say, I think it really is your psyche, is going to come along and make something not work so that you have to change it. You know, it's almost like when you're uncomfortable, eventually, let's say you're sitting on your, you know, you're sitting on the floor, maybe you're doing some yoga or whatever, and you're sitting on your foot. Well, eventually your foot is going to go, hey, I'm hurting a little bit. Hey, could you move? And if you don't eventually move, it's going to hurt enough that you don't have any choice but to move. And the tower energy can work that way. So going back to those rulers, Pluto, the planet of transformation, is the modern ruler of Scorpio. And what is Pluto? Pluto is a change agent. It's about regeneration. It's destruction and elimination, but it's about rebirth. Remember that. Pluto is always about eliminating something to build something new, regeneration. And because Pluto takes 248 years to move around the Earth, to completely orbit the Earth, that's how long it takes to move through every single sign. So it's a very long cycle. So that's why oftentimes, you know, unless Pluto is in a what I would consider a really sensitive part of your chart, you may not even notice what's going on. You know, like, you know, you're probably feeling like you're tired of hearing about Pluto and Aquarius, because Pluto's been making this very slow back and forth and back and forth entry into Aquarius, which, by the way, it is going to be there in November, and it's going to stay there then for 18, 19 years until, you know, literally 2043. Where then it's going to slowly start making its transition into Pisces. But sometimes this is background, and you may or may not notice. But see, once again, you may notice Pluto more this month, or think about Pluto. Think about that idea of really being a change agent on purpose in your own life, because Pluto is the ruler of Scorpio. Now, Pluto is associated with the Tarot card Judgment. And I particularly like this in terms of this context, because here again, you know, I mean, Tarot is one of those things that has been around for thousands of years. Certainly, I do believe there are pretty standard interpretations for each of those cards. But for every human being that ever studies it and uses it, it's a path for tapping into your own intuition. So you can hear people talk about different interpretations for those cards. But the one I want you to kind of stick with or think about today is, to me, judgment is about hearing the call. Judgment often, to me, is about hearing your own intuition, or possibly hearing, you know, that voice that's calling out to you, whether or not, you know, whether it's through mediumship, or you feel like there are spiritual guides or angels or God or whatever it is. Judgment is about hearing the call. And I feel like when it comes up in a reading, it really is about telling the person something or someone is really trying to get your attention. You know, so what is it? What is it you need to hear? What is it you need to do? You know, just hearing the call. So see, maybe that's how Pluto is operating in our lives, at least part of the time. And there again, if you're interested in Tarot, you can go back. There's any number of great books that you can read about what the cards mean, or you can talk to a reader, you can call one to listen, that kind of thing. But for the purpose of our conversation, I'm seeing Pluto today and through this season as hearing the call. Listening to something. But as we go through the season, I think you're going to notice the joint influence of both of those rulers, of Mars and of Pluto. So when we think of Scorpio, what are the archetypes? Well, certainly it's the Scorpion. I mean, that's like one of the most obvious ones, ones we see all the time, the Scorpion, you know, that sting. And, you know, does it bring death and rebirth? What does it bring? But a detective, a surgeon, a hypnotist, and Scorpio is the sorcerer, the enchanter, and the magician. And the magician in the sense of, once again, you hold the cards, you hold the tools for, you know, channeling your power, for creating your illusions, for manifesting, for making the magic in your own life, however you define that. Now, as a tarot card, though, Scorpio is the Death card, which makes total sense. But here again, if you've been around the Tarot for any amount of time, you know when the Death card shows up, it doesn't mean somebody's going to die. But what it does mean is a new path is being taken. You're releasing something and you're moving into something else. You are rebuilding something else in your life. So and that is for real. And it's not, that is not just trying to sugarcoat it or make it something, you know, it's not. I've been reading Tarot for over 30 years. And I can honestly say, I don't think I've ever seen the Death card come up when somebody died. And maybe it's because, do we really die? You know, is it, I mean, even though we don't know experientially exactly what's on the other side of that, you know, from that person's perspective, they've just gone on to another form. So maybe that's why. But, you know, don't be worried about that Death card any more than, you know, you go out into your garden. I mean, here again, it's a season of Scorpio. You know, I'm looking outside, and even though I live in a climate where, you know, we don't get those freezing temperatures in the winter, certainly some of my plants, you know, they need to be cut back. They need to be trimmed. They're not going to do their thing so much in the wintertime. And if you live in a cold climate where I used to, boy, we had to just clean out all of those annuals and really, you know, kind of protect all the perennials and just go out there. It was a season of cleaning out all the dead stuff, you know, all the stuff that had gone through its cycle and now it needed to be cleaned out. So that's very much what Scorpio is too. And I want to introduce a couple of other ideas too. You've probably heard the mythology of Scorpio. Well, that is, and you know, there again, you can read up on it. Usually most of the signs have at least one or two or maybe even more mythological stories that are associated. But one of the ones that's associated with Scorpio is Medusa. You know, the woman with all the, you know, what was it, snakes coming out of her head, et cetera, and every time she looked at somebody, they turned to stone. Well, here again, when I've read the mythology, it seems like there's lots of explanations. But a lot of times it comes down to her being incredibly angry, you know, just this kind of pure hatred. And but there again, they attribute it to her. How did she get that way? Well, some say it was a punishment for sleeping with the wrong god. Others say she was sexually abused and just like, you know, she just went ballistic, so to speak. But anyway, part of the story is that she was pregnant, but she was unable to give birth due to her hatred. And so it wasn't until she was really able to release that through, however, I don't know if it was through death or what happened, release the bitterness, the hatred, you know, that she was really able to free not only Pegasus, which was the baby inside, but the feminine nature that was trapped within. So very much Scorpio can be about facing our dragons, you know, facing the dark and the shadow side of life. And I don't know about you, but I mean, this is something that is really, really going on in my life. And maybe because I'm just facing a lot of, you know, aging parents and a number of other things in my life right now. And just realizing, you know, that this can be a really hard thing, and it brings up all those shadows. I mean, several times a day, I'm telling you, I will literally go, this isn't how I want to live my life. And not because I'm saying, you know, it's not about my parents or Dewey. It's about the feeling I have inside. I don't want to feel this way. You know, and so when I have a really negative thought, or when I have a really depressive thought, or when I'm just feeling, you know, I don't want to feel this way. And I realize I've got the choice, you know, just be the observer and just say, what are the dragons? What are my personal dragons that I am facing in my life? What is the dark side? What is the shadow side? Because we really can just look at those from a very objective standpoint and recognize and see destructive patterns in our lives, and we can transform them. Scorpio is about the phoenix rising from the ashes. But more than that, I just want to, you know, plug that idea once again. When you see something inside, when you see a pattern and go, you know, whatever that person does that, this is how I respond. Or when I see this, this is how I feel. Every time that feeling is particularly, I think, negative, then you can go, I've got a choice here. I have a choice. I don't have to have this feeling. Nobody is making me have this feeling. I can choose to do this differently. And so I think Scorpio, once again, when I talked about this being a season of withdrawal, you know, going into yourself, carving out that time, whether it's daily or weekly or whatever it looks like, being able to not just say, I don't have time for self-development. I don't have time to look at some of these things that are probably a whole lot more important than the external things that you're doing in your life. And here's another idea that I think about Scorpio. If you've heard of the idea of spelunking, those are the people that explore caves. And I love the word because it's just interesting to say, spelunk, you know, spelunker, spelunking. You know, I like the idea, but it's that idea that, you know, there again, we put on the head, you know, we put on the headlight, the headlamp, maybe we put our boots on and maybe a jacket, and we're going in and out of these caves. We're sloshing through the water. We're looking underneath the surface. We're exploring things, and we don't know what we're going to find. And depending on the amount of light, we may be kind of scared when we first see these things, but we can go in and make it an adventure. So I think about that with Scorpio too. But some of those things, I just think this is the season to be able to carve out that time for yourself. And like I said, you may say, I can't do that every day, or I can't do it, whatever. But I would encourage you. And the way you carve out that time is first, maybe you're not saying, hey, I want to learn this or I want to do that. Now, I mean, a lot of people would. They literally say, okay, I want to look more in depth with this. Or maybe I want to read a spiritual book. Or maybe I want to check into this. There's lots of ways to do it. But carve out a time that's just for you. Just for reflection. For meditation. For just sitting and drinking your coffee and just watching the world go by every single day. But carving out that time is not just putting it on your calendar. It's also protecting that time in terms of not letting other things interfere. You know, whether that's family responsibilities or your phone or the TV or whatever it is, just say, this is my time for myself. So I'm encouraging you to go on an exploration, but to do it internally. You know, give yourself that opportunity, because the way you increase your trust in your intuition and you take on that persona, you remember that you are the magician, is by giving yourself the space and the time to do it. You know, the practice, giving yourself a protected space, even if it's just a few minutes a day. So I want to read also a couple of things about Scorpio, or rather, these are quotes that just remind me of Scorpio. Some of them actually say it, but others, they just remind me of it. So the first one is by Stephanie Austin, who is an astrologer. And she says, Scorpio represents the need to die to an old way of being, to sacrifice our illusions upon the altar of evolution, and to remember there is no real death or loss, only transformation, a continual change from one form to another. Now, this one is George Bernard Shaw. He says, progress is impossible without change, and those who cannot change their minds cannot change anything. Now, that to me is a gem, absolutely. Because if we can't change our minds, we really can't change anything. Okay, here's one. The doorway to your fondest dreams is often through the portal of your darkest fears. That's Patricia Sun. And then here's one by, you know, the famous Chinese philosopher Lao Tse. Darkness within darkness, the gateway to all understanding. And I can't tell you exactly why it is, but I really do believe that for the most part, this is true. That if we're not willing to look at a darkness inside of us, or if we're not willing to look at what we're afraid of, we're never going to get to the really good stuff. You know, you can't release something unless you're willing to throw some light on it. And that's what it really is. You know, that stuff is in the dark because we're not willing to look at it. We're not willing to bring the light, you know, or to bring it to the light. Bring it out into the light and see what it really is. And like I said, I wish I could make that different. And I wish I could say it is different. But I don't think it is. I think it is, you know, the pathway to our happiness, a pathway to great understanding and to functionality and success is to be willing to go through the darkness when you need to. So, you know, there again, just think about that. And I'm not telling you to dive into the dark side, but I'm saying, you know what, if something makes you afraid, or there again, if you're like me and you go, you know what, I don't like getting angry every time I hear that. And anger really is my emotion. You know, I've got a lot of Aries in my chart, and I'll tell you what, anger, you know, that Mars anger is one of the things that, it's kind of my go-to emotion, right? And every time I go, okay, you don't have to respond this way. And, or I can go, yep, that's who I am, and now how do I release it? How do I let it go? What is it about this? So just being a little more introspective, being accepting, you know, not judgmental, just being accepting. So Scorpio, it's a very complex sign also. You know, I already told you it has two different rulers, and even though I think there's a lot of synchronicity there between the two rulers, Mars and Pluto, you know, it's there's a lot of complexity here. This is a sign that is, I think, associated with some of the most powerful, mysterious, misunderstood, and motivating human emotions, desires, passions, sexual, you know, energy, psychological processes, secrets and taboos, and lust. Now, when I say lust, even though that often is in terms of sexuality, it's not always sexual. It's lusting. I want it. Whatever it is, you know, that kind of that obsessiveness, that's very Scorpio too. So when you think of lust, just realize it's a whole lot more than sexual. It's about, I want this. I feel it in my body. I want this. It's about power, for sure. Pluto is about literally plutonium and nuclear power. It's about birth and death and regeneration. It's about metamorphosis and magnetism, catharsis, you know, coming to that point of change, and some of those emotions, possessiveness and jealousy and obsession. But it's about psychic ability. And maybe more than anything else, it's about healing. And I say that because that's it. We go through the darkness, or we go through a painful thing. We you know, bring something to the light. It's about healing. It's about transforming it in our bodies, in our minds, in our hearts. Also, Scorpio is associated very much with spirits and ancestors. You know, that tie that we have to not only the one, but just that our tie to everything. And see, once again, Scorpio is a very, very psychic sign. So it's right there in there, you know, understanding that. Or sometimes we don't always understand it. But don't be surprised if you feel like a lot of your psychic energy, your intuitive energy is just like really off the charts during the Scorpio season. Now, I have one more quote for you about Scorpio. And this one is because we've been talking about taboos and secrets that have to do with Scorpio. And by the way, here again in my life, I cannot tell you how many secrets have been coming out recently. Just, I feel like I'm surrounded by friends, family, people talking secrets. And we're not even there yet, but that might be the effect of Mercury right now being in Scorpio. But here's one. Henry Miller, whenever a taboo is broken, something good happens, something vitalizing. Taboos, after all, are only hangovers. The product of diseased minds, you might say, of fearsome people who hadn't the courage to live and who, under the guise of morality and religion, have imposed these things upon us. So, you know, when I look at a lot of the protests and when I look at some of the newer generations and you know, where they're going, I mean, even looking at all of the movement of the trans movement, etc., you know, in some ways very Scorpio, but that's it, trying to redefine what those labels are. Which brings me to another thing that I think is really associated with Scorpio, which I absolutely love, which is restoring, reclaiming the sacred in our lives. You know, reclaiming what has been become taboo, or reclaiming what has been shameful, you know, by previous times, by previous cultures, you know, coming out once again into the light and restoring what is sacred. So those might be some of the ideas that come to you during this season too. If how do you want to restore something that is sacred to you, and that you don't have to keep it in the drawer. You don't have to, you know, keep it hidden away. You know, what are those things that you want to just bring out into the light? So here's the Scorpio season. It is going to bring change, absolutely. That's what it is about. It is about, but it's once again, it's that season, if you look at it, you know, historically, as autumn. Now, I know that's not true in the southern hemisphere, but I live in the northern one, and I can't really speak to exactly how that manifests down under. But we associate it with those leaves falling off the tree, releasing, but then creating the mulch, creating the fertility for the next season to come. But here's a couple of things I want you to think about this too. What's so interesting about this particular cycle of Scorpio? Because I think there's a couple of things that really caught my attention. And once again, it's all about Pluto. Now, I know I'm a broken record, and I promise at some point, once Pluto really moves into Aquarius, maybe I won't be talking about it so much. I'm not going to promise, but maybe. But what is so interesting about this cycle? Well, this always grabs my attention, is when a planet, right before it moves into a new sign, when it has an important connection to another planet, but specifically to Pluto, then I notice. And guess what's going to happen? 8 hours before the sun enters Scorpio, so it's already done it, did it this morning, the sun came into contact with Pluto. It squared it. Because Pluto's over in Capricorn right now. And so in Libra, at that very last degree, 29 Libra, the sun squared Pluto. So, and you know, squares mean change. They mean a change in direction. It gets our attention because it says, you know what? Both these things can't be true at the same time. You've got to make a choice. You've got to make a decision. And so if you think about it too, when we had that full moon on October 17th, you know, there was that kind of growing sense of what I call tension. Now, a lot of you could go, oh, well, that's the election coming up. Well, no matter what you think the manifestation of it is, or something else personal going on in your life, you might feel like there's just been tension, tension, tension. Now, we can't totally blame it on the planets. Remember, the planets are just a representation. They just resonate the energy that's already out there. But I feel like you probably maybe have been feeling that kind of growing tension. And for us personally, even though I don't consider Pluto a personal planet, the sun certainly is. So to have the sun square Pluto this morning, to me, especially when it does it right before it's going to change signs, I feel like Pluto's giving the sun marching orders, so to speak, or saying, okay, do you finally get it? Is this dawning on your mind? Is this the direction you want to take? Or, you know, letting us know this is not working for you, kind of that tower energy. And so I feel like I can't tell you what it was for you, but I feel like that's the important thing. The sun and Pluto kind of made a plan. Pluto was very direct with the sun this morning and saying, okay, there's a change coming. What do you want? Are you going to be in control of it? Are you going to be the driver? Are you going to be the one who directs and channels this energy? Or are you going to just like let it be flipping you over like waves in the ocean? Right? So that was very important this morning, and I think it plays into a part of maybe where you'll go in the next 30 days or so, because there might have been an important revelation of going, you know what, I'm not happy with this house, or I'm not happy with this job, or I'm not happy with this relationship. And it doesn't have to be that you're not happy, because in fact, maybe you're saying, I want to make a commitment. You know, I want to make a commitment to this relationship, to this house, to this job, to this situation, to this family. But just recognizing that something's got to change is what was going on. Now, during this transit of the Sun through Scorpio, which is today through November 21st, something else important is happening with Pluto. Pluto will finally make its move into Aquarius on November 19th. So just 2 days before this particular cycle is over, the Sun cycle, Pluto is going to finally be in Aquarius. And of course, there again, it's because it touched into Aquarius this year, but it's been going back and forth through retrogrades, just like 1 or 2 degrees at a time. But now, by November 19th, we're going to see Pluto actually make that change. So yes, during this Sun cycle, we feel that Pluto in Capricorn, but we're making the transition to Aquarius. Pluto, or you know, the Capricorn is all about organization, it's about structure, it's about the past, and it's about the, you know, foundations. Aquarius is all about the future, imagining something different, doing something differently, imagining a universe, not only where you're thinking outside the box, but where there are no boxes. So I think that also plays a part, that let's say that you do say, hey, I am going to carve out this private time for me. I am going to do a little bit of what she's talking about, doing this withdrawal so that I can, you know, see my personal stars and my personal cosmos. But I think it's going to change from beginning to end of what you think it is. And doing that process, you may actually come out in a different place than you ever imagined you would be. And here again, when I say that, I'm kind of thinking about that idea of, you know, if you've heard of the idea of dark skies, there are communities where they really limit outdoor lighting at night for the purpose of that you can really see the stars. Like, I'll be honest with you, I live in Las Vegas. The sky is never dark. There is always ambient light in the sky at night. It's really difficult to see any constellations from here. You'd have to get pretty far away from Vegas before you'd ever have dark skies where you'd really be able to see the stars and the constellations. Now, I can often see planets because they're a little bit brighter, but you know what I'm talking about. The way, if you really are an astronomer, or you want to really appreciate the sky, you're not doing it from an urban area with lots of ambient light. It's the same thing. That's what I'm talking about for Scorpio, getting away, withdrawing. So it's not that you have to, you know, leave home. It's just that, how do you shut down the ambient light or the noise so that you can see your personal sky? In really simple terms, so that you can hear your own voice. That's what it's about. How do you hear your own voice amidst a lot of noise? And so as Pluto makes that move, see, it's doing two important things during this cycle. It helps us get in touch with, you know, something we want to learn, our deepest interests, our passions. And I also say becoming our own version of a revolutionary, because that is Aquarius. What are the limits that we're going to break through? How are we going to become the caterpillar who crawls into the chrysalis? And see, that's something that I think is also really important. That is going to happen. That is what we're doing. And when we do it voluntarily, saying, you know what, I'm ready for a big change in my life. And it's mysterious and it's very transformational. I don't know exactly how it works, but I know that something different is going on. And I can't understand it. I may not even tell other people exactly what it is, but I know that it's time to grow and change, just like the caterpillar to the butterfly. That's like the perfect example of Scorpio or Pluto operating in our lives. So I'm telling you, asking you, give yourself permission to withdraw for the purpose of healing, recuperation, learning, seeking knowledge and experiencing more self-awareness during this period. And that means not only carving out the space and the time, but setting the necessary boundaries with friends and family and work and other priorities that you have. And if you want to do something more dramatic than just like writing in a journal every day, you know, get a reading, you know, 1-2-listen.com. Get a reading from an astrologer or a tarot. You know, if there's somebody that you really want to use as a coach, or, you know, get a little bit of help. Get some ideas, you know, swimming around. Because, in fact, I have been thinking lately, I got my first reading about 35 years ago, I think. And I cannot believe how often I go back to that reading and I hear something and I go, oh, I don't remember her ever saying that. Or I have a completely new idea or understanding of something and I realize at the time I had no idea what she was talking about. And now as my life has evolved over the last 35 years, I'm like, oh, that's what she was talking about. So sometimes a reading like that, you know, whether it's numerology or tarot or astrology or a psychic reading, whatever, you know, all different tools and versions, it's amazing how it can change your life and continue throughout your life. Like, it really changed the trajectory of my life, I can tell you that. I had no idea really what astrology was, and so the idea of becoming an astrologer, are you kidding? I mean, you know, it totally changed my life. So I realize we are out of time. I did have some more quotes. Maybe I'll give them to you next week about people that have the sun in Scorpio. I will close with just one, though, because I do love this one so much. And this is from, if I can find it, Jonathan Winters. He not only has a sun in Scorpio, but his sun is sextile Jupiter in Capricorn, and it's conjunct Saturn, and it's trine Uranus in Pisces and Pluto. And this is the quote. It's just because of the way he says it. When I see all those planets related to his sun, he says, I may not be playing with a full deck, but I don't need a full deck because I have four aces. And so I want to leave you with that idea, because what have you got up your sleeve? What are those things about you? And there again, if you can't automatically come up with something, that's the time to get a reading. What are your specific qualities and characteristics and even idiosyncrasies? What have you got up your sleeve that is really working for you and defines this particular life that you have on this planet right now? So everybody, thank you so much for letting me go on and on and on about Scorpio. Thanks for joining me today. Thanks to everybody who did join me in the chat room. I'll go over and look at all those comments. Thanks to all the listeners and to our producer, Jay Barbell. And please stay tuned, because up next is Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone. And that name is perfect, because that is exactly what Kelly does. She empowers people. That's coming up next here on 1-2 Radio. This is CA signing out, and you have been listening to Everyday Astrology, where we are changing the way you listen to the world.